This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. I'm back in the office of Randy Dixon, who's with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Pryor Center is on the square in Fayetteville. I have a long microphone, so we're 6 feet apart, socially distanced. Randy, what did we just hear again?
That was something that we're going to be hearing this Saturday. It's Razorback Stadium, big football game. We're going to open with against Rice.
Which is fitting, since we're again this week, we're going to complete our two-part sort of review of this review of Arkansas football. Rice, of course, was a team we played in the Southwest Conference days. And some of the first cuts we're going to hear are when Arkansas was in the Southwest Conference.
This is a continuation of the vignettes that we were running last week with Paul Eales when KATV and the university marked 100 years of Razorback football. So these only are dated up to 1994. So this will be a review, and then later as we get more material from the Media Preserve in Pennsylvania, we'll have some moments from the late 90s and 2000s.
All right, we're going to start with a father-son combo.
Yes, the Billy Ray Smiths, as I would say. But Billy Ray Smith Sr. and Billy Ray Smith Jr. represent two generations of outstanding Razorback football players.
And he's down to the Arkansas 9-yard stripe. Billy Ray Smith tackling along with Billy Fuller for Arkansas.
The name Billy Ray Smith will always have a special place in the heart of Arkansas Razorback fans. For Bill Ray Smith Sr. and Billy Ray Smith Jr. will go down as one of the best father-son combinations in the history of college football. The elder of the Smiths excelled on the defensive line of the Razorbacks' mid-50s teams. His hard blows and quarterback sacks helped to earn him all-conference honors in 1956. In 1979, a younger Billy Ray Smith arrived in Fayetteville and started every game from his freshman year on. Billy Ray Jr. was twice named All-American, and both Smiths went on to excel in the NFL. Both Billy Ray Smith Sr. and Billy Ray Smith Jr. will always be remembered, having each earned respective spots on Arkansas's All-Century team.
Senior was before my time, before I was really paying attention. He went on to the NFL?
Yes, he played actually for the Rams, the Steelers, and the Colts. And when he played for the Colts, they made it to two Super Bowls and actually beat Dallas in Super Bowl V. So he had a ring. Junior was a first-round draft choice in 83 for the San Diego Chargers, and he played until 1992, and I understand he still lives in San Diego and does a morning radio show.
How about that? Yeah. He had quite the career there. All right, so those were the Smiths. I mentioned we're talking about Southwest Conference somewhat during this conversation. Let's go back to 1968.
Okay, the 68 team had only suffered one loss the entire season. It was against Texas at Austin, shocker, and but they went on to meet Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
January 1st, 1969, Arkansas and Georgia meet at New Orleans to decide the next Sugar Bowl champion. The Bulldogs bring an 8-0-2 record to the meeting with a testy defense to back it up. In the second quarter, Arkansas's Bill Montgomery finds All-American Chuck Dykus in the end zone for a 27-yard reception, giving the Hogs a 7-0 lead in the game's only touchdown. Arkansas goes on to win 16-2, and Chuck Dykus and Bill Montgomery will forever be remembered as Razorback legends earning spots on the school's All-Century team.
We're listening to clips that have been digitized at the Pryor Center. These all come from a 1994 series that the legendary voice, Paul Eales, legendary voice of Arkansas Razorback football, Paul Eales did in 1994, celebrating 100 years of Arkansas football. You mentioned Billy Ray Smith had this long career with San Diego Chargers. He wasn't the only Razorback who became a Charger.
That's true. Another great player for Arkansas, Bill McClard, who was a kicker, later went to the Chargers, but here's a little profile on him.
November 14th, 1970, Arkansas field goal kicker Bill McClard is one of the last of a dying breed. The straight-on field goal kicker. Southern Methodist arrived in Fayetteville that weekend for a Southwest Conference showdown. Arkansas had a 4th-and-3 situation on the SMU 43. Head coach Frank Broyles has punting on his mind until junior kicker Bill McClard talked him into letting him give it a try. With the wind at his back, McClard floated the 60-yard field goal through the goalpost to mark an NCAA record. McClard will always be remembered as one of the first in what would later become a long string of successful Arkansas field goal kickers.
Now, this next clip is, I love the interview at the beginning. It's with Bud Campbell. But it just shows how tough a linebacker can be on you. And this is Dennis Winston.
Yeah. Dennis, do you like to hit people real hard? Because I've seen you hit some real hard.
I like to hurt people. Tell you, I like to hit them hard as I can so they won't get up. You know, they know they've been hit.
Dennis Winston struck fear in the opposition's offensive backfield with statements like that, and he more often than not backed it up come game time. This Marianna, Arkansas native had the ability to tear apart an offense single-handedly anytime he stepped onto the field.
You mentioned how tough a linebacker can be. What was Dennis Winston's nickname?
They called him Dirt.
Yeah.
But he went on to play for the Steelers and the Saints also. Now, this season finale we have next against Texas A&M was to decide who would be going to the Cotton Bowl.
November 13, 1976. Cold, damp, and darkening in War Memorial Stadium, and the game settling into a hard, scrambling standoff. Arkansas quarterback Scott Bull spots Teddy Barnes in the corner of the end zone. Bull throws a bomb between two A&M defenders, and Barnes comes down with a football and the touchdown. The rain-drenched Razorback fans go hog wild as Arkansas goes on to a 31-6 win over the number 2 Aggies and packs its bags for Dallas in the Cotton Bowl. And the Hogs' little receiver is forever branded the immortal Teddy Barnes.
And, of course, the Cotton Bowl is where the Southwest Conference champion would go on New Year's Day.
That's true. And, that, by the way, that was the 76 season right there. So let's talk about another great kicker, Steve Little.
The mid-70s marked the battle years of the foot across the Southwest Conference and across the nation, for that matter. Arkansas's All-American kicker Steve Little did battle almost every Saturday afternoon during these fall days, handling all the Hogs' kicking duties. It was October 15, 1977, against Texas at Fayetteville, when Lou Holtz sent Little on to attempt the longest field goal in Razorback history. The 67-yarder floated through the uprights with plenty of room to spare. With that kick, Steve Little tied the NCAA record for the longest field goal in college history at the time. For efforts such as that, Steve Little ranks among only two place kickers to earn a spot on the University of Arkansas's all-century team.
Little was a household name in Arkansas, and those mid-70s teams had a lot of players that really connected to fans around the state. But Steve Little may have been the one that connected the most.
I believe so. From my recollection, he was the best, one of the best known, not only kickers, but players in Razorback history. He did have a tragic life following that. He was the third highest drafted kicker in NFL history and played for the St. Louis Cardinals. Unfortunately, after 33 games, his record wasn't too good, and they released him. And just within hours of him being cut, he was involved in a high-speed single-car accident that broke his neck, and he became a quadriplegic. He did, and I remember this. I don't know if you remember, but he would come to some of the games on the sideline, and they had constructed some sort of vehicle for him that was shaped like a football helmet. Do you remember that?
Now that you mention it, I remember. I don't think, you know, I wasn't attending games at that point in my life. It sounds familiar.
Right, and I think it may have even had his number on it.
Yeah.
But you know, he died in 1999 at the age of 43. His brother had been caring for him over the years.
Yeah, and he was, you know, a legendary kicker who could I mean, he hit field goals from a long way away. Southwest Conference at that time had a lot of those guys. Russell Erksleben was with Texas, and it seemed like A&M had a prolific field goal kicker. It kind of became the conference in the mid-70s of the best place kickers.
Well, it was Erksleben who he tied the record, that kick record.
Yeah.
So it was there were some really good kickers that season.
All right, that what we just heard was from the mid-70s. From the late 70s, well, this, if you're a Razorback fan of, you know, 40 or more years, you know what we're going to – you'll recognize what we're talking about.
Yes, this would be 77 season, but the Orange Bowl, which fell on New Year's Day, would have been in 78, and this is against Oklahoma.
January 2nd, 1978. Lou Holtz shocks Arkansas in more ways than one. In his first year as head coach, he leads the Hogs to a 10-1 record and a date with Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. Just days before the game, Holtz suspends three of Arkansas's starters, with many seeing that as an Arkansas death wish. The Hogs would have no part of it, however, whipping the Sooners from beginning to end. Second-string running back Roland Sales rushes for an Orange Bowl record 205 yards as the Hogs demolished Oklahoma 31-6, a game that is still remembered as one of the greatest in Arkansas football history.
Big upset win. It was the Orange Bowl, which meant it was the last game that day. It didn't end till after 11 o'clock our time, and you had to go to school the next day because the next day was January 2nd, and it was the start of the spring semester. There were so many bleary-eyed teachers and students the next day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had forgotten all about that. But, yeah, it made things a little tough. And you can imagine it being played on the East Coast. It ended an hour later.
Though, Razorback fans will tell you, it was over in the first quarter. It was just a party for the last three quarters for Arkansas fans.
That's true. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. All right. Let's stay in the 70s, and this is Arkansas-Texas again?
Yes, I saved one of these. We did most of them last week, but I saved this one because it was it was 79, 10 years after the big shootout.
October 20th, 1979. It had been 10 years since the 69 shootout, and this matchup between Arkansas and Texas was shaping up to be just as fierce. Texas came into War Memorial Stadium boasting a perfect 5-0 record, ranked second in the country. Arkansas was holding its own with a perfect 5-game record in hopes of moving up from its 10th place ranking. In typical Arkansas-Texas style, the game went tooth and nail until the third quarter when Kevin Scanlon connected with Darryl Mason to put Arkansas on top 14-7. Ish Ordonez went on to boot a 31-yard field goal with only 8 minutes left, and the Razorback defense held the Longhorns back, making yet another Razorback moment. Arkansas 17, Texas 14.
Okay, let's do another Cotton Bowl. In the balance, this is the Hogs versus the Cougars in 88.
October 28th, 1989. High-octane offense was the name of the game as the Houston Cougars brought the jet fuel to Little Rock. Andre Ware and Quinn Grovey would square off in one of the hottest games ever to be played in War Memorial Stadium. Touchdown matched touchdown in the battle until Grovey outdueled the Cougars in the fourth quarter. The 45-39 victory proved the Hogs could throw the ball when needed and helped to send the Razorbacks to their second straight Cotton Bowl. Grovey would later be remembered as one of the best of the all-time, earning a spot at the University of Arkansas All-Century team.
It really put Quinn Grovey on the map. And, you know, he was quarterback from 88 to 90 starting. And here's a little profile of him.
Small, explosive, and quick are words to sum up Arkansas's all-century quarterback, Quinn Grovey. The speedy number four helped lead the Razorbacks to two Cotton Bowl appearances and currently holds the university's record for throwing the most touchdown passes in a single season. In his 4 years with the Hogs, Quinn Grovey rushed for 21 touchdowns and over 1,700 yards. The 1989 matchup with Houston could perhaps be his most memorable game rushing for three touchdowns and passing for another two.
And of course, Quinn Grovey, you mentioned Billy Ray Smith's in radio. Quinn Grovey's in radio.
Yes, he does the color analyst for Arkansas Radio Sports Network, and is often on 103.7 The Buzz in Little Rock.
All right, so let's move into the 90s. We're getting towards the end of the first 100 years.
That's right. So we made the move to the SEC in 92, and, you know, things didn't go so well. I'll never forget that first game with Jack Crow against the Citadel, and he made it through the one game and was let go, and they promoted the defensive coordinator, Joe Kines, to the head coach position. So this is mid-season away game against number 4 Tennessee.
October 10th, 1992. Arkansas's first season in the Southeastern Conference is already starting out shaky. With just one victory under its belt and already on its second coach of the season, the Razorback football team journeys to the home of 4th-ranked Tennessee. With one of the largest crowds in college football looking on, the Hogs do the impossible. In the fourth quarter, with the Razorbacks down 24-16, Orlando Waters returns a punt 71 yards to cut the lead to 2. A conversion for the tie fails, but Arkansas regains the ball after an onside kick. With just seconds left in the clock, Todd Wright boots a 41-yard field goal to give Arkansas its second SEC victory over a stunned Tennessee Volunteer crowd looking on.
All right. Your prediction, Saturday, opening game against Rice. What are you going to say?
Don't do it to me.
All right. Well, I'll tell you that Arkansas will win 31-10.
Okay, I'll go with that.
All right, that's the future. If you want to peruse the past, you can go to the Pryor Center website.
That's right. Just Google Pryor Center and go to the KATV section and go down the rabbit hole.
All right, you'll be back next Monday?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Randy.